everyone. Welcome back to another edition of the Skating Penguin Network Mailbag. I am Garrett Bahana. As always, alongside me, my co-hosts who are still here after all that they've put me through, Robbie Noggle and Snail. And if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see Snail is not just any regular snail. He is a concerned snail after the Penguins dropped their most recent game, 6-3, to the Detroit Red Wings. We have some more questions to answer from our loyal listeners. The majority of these questions this week come from longtime listener Brian. So, Brian, I assume you're listening. Thank you again for sending us some more of your questions as you continue what I assume is your daily mail route as your borough mailman. So I appreciate you, Brian, as always, for sending us some questions. We'll get into it. Robbie, you'll take question number one here. And it's an interesting question that has nothing to do, well, it does have something to do with the Penguins, but more so the Tampa Bay Lightning. If the Lightning somehow part ways with Steven Stamkos over the summer, do you think Kyle Dubas can make a swing and bring him to Pittsburgh?
Probably not. Where? I mean, I don't know where. I mean, I guess, yeah, a guy like Stamkos, you make room. But money-wise, I mean, I just don't see where that fits in. That would be an uber complicated situation to make work. I don't think Stamkos ultimately leaves Tampa Bay this summer. I think that he ends up signing a deal before free agency ever hits that gets him there for the rest of his career. They'd be completely stupid to let him walk away as a franchise icon. But again, they've done it with Vinny LeCavalier and Marty St. Louis. They've gone on to play in other places. So, maybe a Tampa thing. They don't have that loyalty like the Penguins necessarily do. But does he come to Pittsburgh? Not when there's other teams that are on the cusp of competing that have a lot more money to throw around than the Penguins. A team like we just talked about in the pre-show there a little bit, Detroit would have a ton of money to throw around. Toronto's name's going to be thrown in there just because, I mean, there was discussions that he was going to go to Toronto when he was a free agent in his prime, chose to stay in Tampa Bay. I don't see a realistic path for it to get done. I mean, obviously we can compare the Erik Karlsson situation. Nobody even thought that was plausible until about a month before it happened. So, I mean, I don't want to say never, but I would put the odds at less than 5%, just because it just seems with what the Penguins have, what their plan is, it would be very, very difficult to somehow get that deal done and get him in this roster with all the salary cap constraints, even with the cap going up next year. I just think there's going to be other areas that Kyle Dubas has to focus on besides bringing Steven Stamkos into the fold. So never say never, but I'm putting the chances of that very low at the moment. Question number two, now that we're a few games into the season, what concerns do you have do you have any solutions to solving them?
Oh dear, this shouldn't be the question that Snail gets after his behavior on the post-game show we did last night. But anyways, Snail, tell the world what your concerns are right now.
Yeah, so we talked about him on the game recap, actually, and I think the concerns are not just my concerns. It should be everybody's concerns, as they are pretty blatant and obvious. The depth is not contributing offensively whatsoever. Granted, some of these players were brought in to contribute more on the defensive side of the puck and not the score sheet. But, I mean, you'd expect like a puck to go in off someone's ass at some point or something. There's been like almost nothing. So I would say, like, mostly it's just this lack of offense from the bottom six. I think the one thing that has me more concerned than that is the power play. This is a power play with four Hall of Famers on the ice at for a minute and a half. And I don't know how many power play goals they've scored, but they've gone scoreless on more than they've scored on, I can tell you that much. Last night they went against the Red Wings, they went 0-3. The power play was suspect at best last year as well. And I mean, this might be an overreaction, but I'd be calling for Reardon's head. I think that, I mean, this is a team that has gone back to the well and recommitted to this core and have gone on record saying they will do any and all things to keep this team competitive and try to win another Stanley Cup with for Sid and the boys. I just don't understand if that's been the mentality. Why are they not going out and grabbing like a power play coach savant type of guy? Like that's what I would like. My solution, I guess, for this would be fire Reardon. Thank you for your services. He's kind of like the Letang whisperer. I think he helped Letang a lot bounce back last year. But like go out, and I don't even know who that would technically be. Like, I don't know. I thought maybe like Vancouver got Sergei Gonchar. I think he's helping run defense and power play out in Vancouver. I could be wrong, but I remember when Tocchet made that, when they hired Tocchet and they brought in Gonchar, that was maybe something that he was a part of. That's somebody that I felt like would have been a good choice for Pittsburgh.
I don't want to interrupt, but when you were giving that example just now, like the first name, I didn't even know if it was feasibly possible. I know his coaching experience was like rather limited, but the first name I thought of when you said to get rid of Reardon was like Sergei Gonchar was the first name that popped into my head. I'm like, you know what? First off, if he's even coaching, I don't know if he is or not. If he wasn't though, what would it hurt? Like, I don't think it would hurt anything. I think the relationship between Gonchar and Letang would be the same as it is between Reardon and Letang, for you describing Reardon as a Letang whisperer of sorts. But for whatever reason, I don't know if we were on the same wavelength there. That was the name that came into my mind was Sergei Gonchar as a potential replacement. Again, I don't know if he is in Vancouver, if he's still there, or you know what his deal is right now with his coaching experience. But for whatever reason, Gonchar was like, you know what? Yeah, let's bring him in.
Let me just double check really quick here, because I remember he was coaching. He was behind the bench. He's the defensive development coach, I guess, in Vancouver. But nonetheless, Sergei Gonchar, or what? I know Trevor Daley is in the organization currently, and he actually just got a promotion this last summer. But what about a guy like Trevor Daley, somebody who like was successful on the power play during like a success? I don't know. That's where my mind kind of goes. Maybe looking, I mean, Montreal went out on a limb and they hired Marty St. Louis to like coach their team. He was coaching peewee hockey before that. Like, I don't think the Pens need to make some galaxy brain move and go and try to get, I don't know, some recycled coach. Like, what about somebody who has some chemistry with the team already and some familiarity with the team and has been a part of the team when they were having success? That's what I'm thinking as far as like a solution to this. It gets me fired up thinking about it. This power play thing is going to give me an aneurysm, dude. Like, it's just too good of a team to be going 0-for on the power play.
I will say, not to interrupt again, is that the unspoken issue though? There are so many talented players on this power play, and I don't know if we've discussed it before in a previous mailbag, or maybe we touched on it in a season preview episode. Does this team have too many superstars almost for its own good in relation to the power play? Because everyone always talks about how perfect these passes, it's like, how perfect do these passes have to be on the power play? It's almost like the Penguins are more concerned with making sure the power play goal looks pretty than rather getting it in the net to score the goal. I'm not saying that's the case. I don't believe that they believe that, but it's a common belief among Penguins fans that these Hall of Fame players are almost more concerned with style points than they are with scoring on the power play itself. Again, I'm not here to offer solutions because I don't have them, but it's just something to keep in mind. Does it even matter at this point what coach you bring in if the superstars are going to do their own thing anyway on the power play?
So last time I checked, yeah, there's only one puck on the ice at a time, and you've got all this talent. It's a lot of talent to go around. But also last time I checked, there's two power play units, and like Sid and they load up that one and they get most of the power play time. But like, I don't know, maybe maybe a solution could be trying some different players on that super loaded one. Like, I went to sleep last night thinking about this, and it's just like, what if you had Carlson on the first power play, and you've got Sid, of course, on the first power play in Malkin. You've got three guns, let's just say. And then you've got, like, they've got Raquel, who also they're trying to utilize as more of like a bumper guy, trigger guy. Why don't we put like Rust, or like put maybe a player that isn't like Raquel is like a skill guy. Maybe take Raquel off of that first power play and put more of like a blue collar type player like Rust, who's got a hot hand right now as well. I thought maybe he deserved a little bit of time on the power play last night, the first one. I don't know. Mix it up a little bit. I'd like to see maybe a little bit of creativity from the coaching staff as far as, you know, what do you have to lose at this point? Like, mix up the power plays. You have two of them. Mix and match pairings, something like that. I don't know. I want to see something. I want to see them try and see something totally different maybe next game. But my blood pressure's going up. I'll put a bow on that, and let's move on here to question number three from Brian again. Brian asks, what is your favorite urban legend that you believe is true?
Is Area 51 considered an urban legend?
No, that's just real.
Okay, so do we believe Area 51 is real? I don't know. Bigfoot. I'll say Bigfoot is real.
Do you actually believe he's real?
No, I don't.
Well, that you really back that claim up there.
It defeats the purpose of the question. I don't know.
What about if we live in a... You seem like a simulation believer.
I almost wanted to say aliens, because I do believe aliens are real, but it seems like now that's not so much of an urban legend. If you believe some people in Congress or some government officials recently that aliens are perhaps real, and it's not so much of an urban legend anymore. So my gut reaction was going to say aliens. Here's one that I don't believe that I absolutely love, is because I'm a Beatles fan. I love that the big conspiracy theory around the Beatles is that Paul McCartney died in like the late 60s, and they've been using a body double for Paul McCartney ever since. I just think that's that is just the bee's knees, as the kids say these days. Do kids say that? I don't know.
No. They don't say that. But okay, so isn't an urban legend like a legend from like your area? Like, isn't that like a region specific like conspiracy?
I guess if you really dissect the word urban, I guess from that perspective, maybe so. If that's the case, there is an urban legend that I think it's hokey pokey, but there's supposedly a creature in West Virginia called the Mothman. And I think there's a statue dedicated to him somewhere in West Virginia. I think it's the stupidest thing in the world. But if you want to go local, I'll go with the Mothman and say that I believe he's real. I mean, hell, they have a statue dedicated to this fake creature. I just think it's the funniest thing in the world. But that's it for my urban legend. Snail, did you want to add something to that? What crazy things are happening in the woods in the PNW?
Dude, I feel like all of them are happening here. Like, Sasquatch is the big one. Did you guys see that video? Like, the people on the train claiming that they saw a real Sasquatch?
No, I didn't.
It was like
a week ago or something like that.
Did you see it? You saw it, Robbie?
I saw a video, but like, obviously the video was like from like 500 yards away. You couldn't really tell anything because God forbid you use Zoom.
I think he used Zoom. I think it was from like 500 yards away, but they were on a train, and it's just this Sasquatch lumbering in the tall grass, and then he like squats down and hides. And it's like, dude, if that's a person though, that's such crazy effort. Like, that guy got like helicoptered, like dropped into that mountain range that train goes through, and he's in like a extremely expensive Sasquatch suit, probably like 100 degrees in that thing. But anyways, I don't know. Urban legends out here. There's Sasquatch. There's I think like the first UFO sighting ever was in Washington. They're all real, man. It's just There's no urban legends. They're just, it's just, it all probably happened.
It's all real. I love it. It is all real. And you know what? I'm going to believe it.
What about you, Robbie?
Oh, yeah. Robbie, do you have anything?
Not something I really buy into much with the urban legends. I don't really got much on that. I mean, just not something I really have dedicated much time to going in depth on.
Well, dedicate more of your time to this next question. Question number four. How many Pee Wee hockey players would it take to stop Sidney Crosby from scoring a goal?
Well, a significant amount. I mean, you'd have to make it to the point where he almost couldn't skate without, like, just start trucking kids left and right.
No, that's what I would be. I'd be trucking. Yeah, I would just be.
He's too nice to just start trucking kids. Now, if you could pin him in one end, but what are the odds? Like, you'd have to have a goalie in there that, like, he could just flip it down the ice. It would take, okay, so 5, 10, 50, 20. Oh, man. I'm just trying, like, it would take at least 100. I'm just thinking about, like, lining kids up, like, 5 across, like, no, you'd need.
Is there contact?
That's what I mean. Like,
you have I hope so.
Like, okay, they can commit. They're allowed to. Let's just say they're allowed to commit, like, hooking and slashing. They can't trip, but they can, like, hack away at the stick and his hands. I mean, he's. I mean,
dude, his base is so strong.
That's what, like, I mean, if, like,
I mean, he couldn't. He didn't even need to, like, commit any, like, sort of, like, atrocities. He could just kind of, like, puck protect his way, and it would just, yeah, it could be like, it would be slaughter out there.
I will, my official guess will be it will take an F ton. A metric F ton of Pee Wee hockey players to stop Sidney Crosby from scoring a legit goal. It just, yeah, it just, I mean, yeah. A metric F ton.
Like, maybe not even like an actual number, but like a measurement of like Pee Wee players per square foot on the ice.
Yeah, something like you need like so much ice covered to where he couldn't get enough free space to get around, like, around them, even with his speed and his strength. Like, that could pin, that would have it. Like, if you got enough children, like, they could pin like anybody against the wall.
This conversation has gone much more in depth than I originally anticipated it getting to, which, you know, I appreciate the lengths that we've gone to try and decipher, you know, how many kids it would actually take to stop a 36-year-old man from scoring a goal.
Well, here we have another hypothetical for question number five here from Brian. Who decided what words were cuss words?
Liberals. No, I don't know. Probably like people from the church or something. I typically, a swear word or a cuss word is derived from, I don't know, some sort of like a taboo of some sort, sex, drugs, rock and roll, death, pee and poo. I don't know, all those things. So I don't know, people who are soft, people that don't like to hear that stuff. That's who.
That's fair.
People who are soft in general. Moving on here. Question number six from Brian. Brian asks, what is the most annoying thing people do in public? We got to round table this.
Okay. Yeah. I would say, talking too loudly on speakerphone.
That's fair.
That's the correct answer.
That's one. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of correct answers, but that, like, right now with technology, that might be the most correct answer.
Yeah. Okay. I'm glad the three of us are in agreement here. So I'll go with that one. Robbie, we'll go with you, then we'll go Snail.
I'm going to say eating a well done steak.
It's been nice knowing you guys. I'm going to leave the studio now. I've taken too much abuse over the last, like, two weeks.
You're the one that brings it on yourself by eating well-done steak.
Have you done that in public, though, Garrett? Like, have you ordered that at a restaurant?
I rarely order steaks at restaurants, so.
Do you eat a well-done burger?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
That, I first off, Snail, you have no room to talk because you're a vegan. Second off, Robbie.
Snail, screw you.
Yeah, screw you. I'm just protecting myself against foodborne illness is what I'm doing.
No, you're not.
Why can't you believe me when I say that, even if it's not the case?
Why are you so scared of foodborne illness?
It's the first thing that came to mind when I was trying to find an excuse.
Yeah, there it is.
As to why I eat my meat well done.
Yeah, there it is.
If I'm being brutally honest with everybody. again, I think
sometimes a good bout of diarrhea will do you well.
You got to clean out the pipes.
You do. Hey,
I can do that without having to eat a cow who's still breathing. So Robbie has insulted me. I've given mine. And Snail, what is the most annoying thing that people do in public?
It's people talking. It's like, it's what you said. It's people talking on speakerphone in public. And I see it all the time. I hear it all the time. I've had Uber drivers doing it. It's just like, dude, I don't need to. It just like gets in my own head. Pretty soon I'm thinking about the stuff that they're talking about. And I don't even want to be thinking about their conversation. It like interrupts my thoughts. I'm like trying to think. And it's like in a grocery store, I'm like, okay, I'm looking at my grocery list. And then somebody's just like yapping away on their phone behind me. And I can hear their whole conversation. I can't stand it. So I'm going to have to agree with you. It's people not utilizing headsets or Bluetooth or what have you.
Yeah, we have way too much cheap, easy, accessible technology for that kind of stuff to be pervasive throughout society at this point.
Or like, why do these people not have any shame in like keeping their conversations private? Like for me, if I get a phone call, no matter where I'm at, whether it's at work, at a friend's house, in my own home, I'll step outside. I'll step into a separate room. I'll call that person back when I'm in the car or something. Like, it's just I don't want other people hearing like my conversations, even if it's nothing taboo or private or whatever. Like, don't you guys feel similarly? Like, won't you guys like take a step away from your conversations?
When I get a phone call, my buddy calls me on his drive home from work every day. And like, if I'm downstairs in the living room, I'll just like by instinct, I'll just get up and go somewhere else that like no one else is. It's just instinct. I don't know if like it's human nature for me, at least for some
you
people.
You might say common sense.
Yeah. So, I will definitely step away and do my own thing. And I don't want to distract other people who are like watching TV, but at the same time, I don't want you listening to like what could be potentially like sensitive information. Well, okay. With that, we'll go to question 7. Regrettably, this question goes to Robbie here. This question comes from Brian. Whose start to the season is most impressive? Sid is doing Sid things as always, but it looks like Evgeny Malkin is, in Brian's terms, bussin' in all caps. He's playing like he's 27 again. I think the extra time off from missing the postseason has helped Gino. Robbie, would you agree?
Yeah, Malkin has to be up there. Brian Rust has to be up there. Riley Smith, I thought, has been just lights out since in his first 4 games as a Penguin. Just, and again, Riley Smith coming off a short summer, looks like he's fresh and ready to roll. Riley Smith has looked fantastic as well. Crosby's Crosby. What are you gonna do? And I think you could pick about anybody in that top six. Has been impressive in their own way. I mean, overall, the top six, again, we said last night, not the problem. Gino obviously looks like he's taken all the haters and losers to heart. Was not happy with how last season ended. If I had to pick one, I'm gonna say Riley Smith. I've been wholly impressed with what he's brought to the table. I have not heard anything in the fan base about keeping Jason Zucker or regret that they let Jason Zucker go, because Riley Smith has been even better than advertised through these first 4 games. I understand it's 4 games, but if that chemistry with Malkin keeps up, he could very well put up a career year.
You see, Gino was snubbed off the top 100 list.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Everybody in Pittsburgh did.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about that? Do you see, like, Owen Power and, like, JT Miller were projected to be, like, better than Gino?
I think it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, first off, I don't want to give any more airtime or publicity to ESPN than they already got for publishing this list. But it's not the first time, because the NHL put out their literal own league rankings during their centennial season, where Evgeny Malkin once again was not on that list. And that was, what, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, something like that. So once again, the disrespect of Evgeny Malkin lives on even 5 or so years after they published, the NHL publishes that list. Again, I don't know how it's physically possible. I literally, all you have to do is look at, just type in all-time NHL stats, and his name is probably in the top 10, if not the top 15. I don't know where exactly, but it's just ludicrous that he is left off that list.
Didn't he just pass McGillney for third yes. all-time?
Yeah, he'll probably pass Fedorov this year.
He'll pass Fedorov this year at the rate he's going, and then it's just yeah. Ovi, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah, which obviously he's never going to catch Ovechkin, but he...
True.
It would be tough to hit 500 this year. I think he needs like 40 goals. Not saying it's impossible, just don't know if he has 40 in him, but he's going to hit 500 like at the latest.
Well, if that power play would get figured out, maybe he would hit 40 goals.
Yeah, but
Snail's vendetta and crusade against the power play knows no bounds.
Apparently.
Speaking of which, Snail, it has been brought to my attention, the producer in my ear, which is just myself, has told me that you have a question to round out this edition of the mailbag. Is that true?
I do. I had a question, but it kind of got covered at one point. Oh. And so I'm actually just typed in a question into a random question generator on my phone.
Yeah, fill the content.
And the question is, this is kind of a Brian-esque question, I think. So maybe Brian gets a lot of his questions from random question generator. It's actually from a Washington, University of Washington, right? Local website here. It says, if you could live in a book, a TV show, or movie, what would it be? Garrett, you can't say Star Wars.
Why not? That's like, if I want to live, where would I live? Honestly, if there's one planet that I could move to in the Star Wars universe.
The forest moon Endor.
I was thinking Endor. I was between Endor or Coruscant, because I mean the whole planet is just one big city.
Not Alderaan?
Unfortunately, unfortunately, with how things, I don't think Alderaan. Well, yeah, those people never rebuilt Alderaan because all of those people died, unfortunately, in that tragic accident. But
I don't know if accident's the right word.
Is the Death Star a planet?
I
mean, there's two of them that are gone.
The Death Star is a space station, but it's constructed to look like a planet.
Is there Earth in Star Wars? Is there any mention of Earth?
I don't believe so. The story takes place in a galaxy far, far away. And I don't think these people...
Endor is kind of earthy.
Well, yeah, it looks eerily similar to Northern California, if you ask me. But here's the thing about Endor. The entire planet, I'm assuming the entire planet is like similar to what you see in Return of the Jedi.
Well, that's the moon, though.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
That's
you're
forest right. moon of Endor. Forest moon. So, do you feel like living with a bunch of teddy bears?
That's the thing. Like,
the Ewoks?
Yes. Yeah. Do I destroy... And what's the word I'm looking for?
You can't destroy the Ewoks.
No, not destroy. Oh. Deforestation. Like, do I just come in
and, create a city or something?
Yeah, like what they're doing with the Amazon rainforest in real life. You know, just tear down trees and shit.
Well, the Ewoks will fight back.
That's the scary thing, is that they'll fight back.
I could see Garrett in, like, a robe, and he's just, like, the Ewoks leader. He's just, like, gone in, and they
respect me for my authority. So, anyway, you know what? I'm trying to do one last quick, like, run through in my head of the planets. Tatooine is too hot. It doesn't look like there'd be air conditioning there. Hoth is too cold.
Doesn't look like we eat there.
Endor, like the forest moon of Endor would be that happy medium. No, you know what? I changed my answer. Naboo. I want to live on Naboo.
That's fair.
Everything is peaceful there. I can live with the Gungans in Gungan City if I want to go on a retreat, like a vacation. So my final answer is Naboo. And I'll shift it over to Robbie. Where do you want to live in a fictional world?
Oh boy, I was not expecting this question, but it's a really good question. It is a very Ryan question, but I'm going to say the Shire from Lord of the Rings. I would be I would be taller than everyone, therefore basically a god to them. They would do all the farming. I mean, just give me like a tall pointy hat,
some long bottom leaf,
a big staff, and I could just pretend I have some magical powers, and I'd be like a Greek god to them. Like, imagine the power you would have. Now, would I get tired of eating potatoes all the time? Probably. No,
potatoes are delicious.
They are, but like you need to got to mix it up every once in a while. Got to get some different recipes. The good thing is potatoes are very versatile food stuff. So. Yeah, I'd say the Shire. It's very peaceful, very quiet. Everyone seems really friendly and chill, especially now that the ring has been destroyed. It seems very nice and quiet, laid back and chill. So I'm going to say the Shire from Lord of the Rings and / The Hobbit.
Snail, very good. It comes down to you.
Springfield from The Simpsons.
Oh, my God.
What?
Yeah, roast him, Robbie. You've roasted me 1,000 times. Why don't you return the favor?
That's not as bad as well done steak, but I don't know. What's your reasoning? I want to hear the reasoning.
I don't know. I just love The Simpsons, man. It just looks like a comfy place. It's just like a nice, looks like a nice place to live. I'd be at Moe's Tavern enjoying Duff beer and whatnot, Flaming Moe's Have you ever played the game Simpsons Hit and Run?
I grew up with that game.
You did?
I know what it is, but I never played it.
When I think about living in Springfield, I think of that game. You really get to see the city in depth, and it's a little gritty. It's cozy. Just a nice place to live, I think.
So when I was like 6 years old, I don't know if I've ever told this story in this kind of setting. When I was 6 years old, me and my best friend Mike, we were playing Grand Theft Auto at his house, and we lived like two doors down from each other. So one night I was coming back home to my house. We were walking out, and my dad was outside in the front yard, like trimming hedges or cutting grass or something, taking the trash out, doing something. And my friend goes up to my dad. My dad goes, "Oh, what did you guys do today? What were you doing over at Mike's house?" And he goes, "Oh, we were playing this game called Grand Theft Auto." Now, my dad knows nothing about...
Oh, my gosh.
My dad, to this day, knows nothing about video games or video game culture. But Mike, in his six-year-old mind, thought it would be a good idea to describe in great detail what we were doing on Grand Theft Auto Vice City.
Are you saying you want to live in
Vice City? What were you doing on Grand Theft Auto Vice City?
Everything that a six-year-old who gets their hands on Vice City would be doing.
Like, killing hookers.
Exactly. We were beating them with baseball bats. We were we were carjacking people. We were lighting people on fire. Like, and we were having the time of our lives. He ends up telling my dad all of this in great detail. From that point forward until I was like 13, I remember we snuck Grand Theft Auto over. Like, he would have like the NHL 06 case for PlayStation 2, and instead of NHL 06, it was like GTA Vice City or GTA San Andreas. So I grew up, it's funny, I just wanted to connect that because my mom bought me Simpsons Hit and Run, which is basically Grand Theft Auto with the Simpsons coat of paint over it.
Oh, it is.
And I mean, I love Hit and Run. Like I said, I grew up with it. I had so much fun with it. Anyway, yeah, that's a less connected story, a sidebar, if you will, for how I was from the age of 6 to like 13 and 14. I could not play mature rated video games.
soft. So you'd have to like essentially smuggle that game in, and like it was contraband.
There was no essentially. That's exactly what we did. Like, I remember during the winter times, he would, again, we only lived two doors down, but in his winter jacket, he would like shove the game in his winter jacket so it would look very unassuming. And we would run upstairs and we would put GTA Vice City or San Andreas in my PS2. And we would just play that for like 6-7 hours until he had to go home.
Crushing pizza bagels, playing, beating up hookers in GTA.
That is exactly what we did. And I had the best childhood because of it.
Good times.
Well, fellas, anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up this edition of the PensCast mailbag?
I got nothing.
All right. Well, until the next episode of the mailbag, until the Penguins find a way to rip our hearts out once again for Snail, for Robbie Noggle, I have been Garrett Behanna. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of the Skating Penguin Network, and we will talk to all of you again very soon.